Good evening, Patriots. Well, we have been discussing earlier kind of the challenges going ahead and the sacrifice and cost of liberty. And liberty is not something that I think we talk about it, but we haven't really, in our lives, we haven't had to face, or at least most of us haven't had to face, that true sacrifice for liberty on our home soil. And we are essentially here now at a point where the hopium part of this equation, which is not something I buy into, and I think you all know that, is one that distorts us from our true sense of what our need is, our purpose, and the things we have to do. We can look at a lot of optimistic stories and try to shape a picture of things that are maybe not so dark, but we have to be cautious not to let our guard down and not do the things necessary to prepare, and at the same time, keeping our heart true to the path that God sets before us. We're going to discuss a lot of that tonight through Romans 12, 1 through 21. Before we begin, just a quick reminder on those groups that make it possible and support Bards FM. Of course, right on the top of the list is MyPillow. MyPillow, with Mike Lindell at the helm, is one of the greatest companies in America right now. Mike has invested millions, tens of millions of dollars in this fight to ensure that we will have election integrity. He has produced a company that supports patriots, supports patriot events. He himself does not charge for any of his showings, by the way. He goes to patriot events in his own jet, flies around, goes to events just to support patriots. He's an amazing man. I love Mike. I have so much respect for him, and he's a Christian, and he gives that way too. So as much as the media would like to see him put out of business, we're never going to let that happen, and that's why we have these great promo codes, and we go over to mypillow.com, and you scroll on down on the front page, and you hit that radio listeners box, and there's some great savings in there, great time to get stuff for Christmas. You can use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and get all sorts of great savings. 50% off on my slippers, or savings on mattresses with sheet sets that get included. Giza sheets are on sale. The MyPillow Supremes are on sale. We have the towel sets that are on sale. It's just amazing savings, and that's made possible as well because Mike goes direct from factory to consumer, so all these things are possible. So take advantage of these great savings. Take advantage of a company that supports liberty and America, and make your dollars be a voice in this fight as well. And go to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. All this information is below each podcast. Also, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, Expedition Coffee. Expedition Coffee is designed to give a boost in mental focus, a boost in your overall health, and to help seal and heal your gut. It is a coffee that was designed to give you energy throughout the entire day with a greater mental clarity and reduced need for amounts of coffee. I myself, as a person who is drinking literally 4 quad shots a day, I'm down to 1 cup in the morning. It is an instant. That was a hard one for me to accept as a coffee drinker who roasted his own coffee, ground his own coffee. I love this product. This was designed and developed in one of the labs that Dr. Eric Naputi is part of, and it was offered as to be a coffee that we could brand here. And I tested it. I've used it. I love it. It's a great product, and that's why I stand behind it. In addition to the Expedition Coffee is the foundation of another part of that health triad, which is called the gut health triad. The gut health triad is part of healing and sealing your gut, which is so much of the problem of our overall body health. And in this period of time, when we have so much of that to be concerned with this COVID craziness going on and this SARS-CoV-2 attack on our bodies, we want to keep our bodies as strong as possible. So that's another part of this integrated system with digestive health is critical, as you've heard Dr. Eric Naputi talk about, which is one of his specialties. The coffee sets the foundation. The health triad builds upon it. And it's overall body health that gives you strength in your immune system, heals and seals your gut, and overall increases your brain focus, your mental clarity, and your overall energy throughout the day. It's a fantastic product set. You can find all of those at expeditioncoffee.com, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com, or you can go to bardsfm.com ShopRadioListener.com/coffee. Click on the links and it'll take you right there. By the way, I use all these products and have for the last few months with just love them to death. Okay, so Patriots, one of the biggest challenges that we have in this time, I would say, is discernment and what we're going to face in a lot of the challenges. Now, in the previous show, I mentioned this article that had come out that is was actually put together in November 6, 2014. And what it was based on was an exchange on September of 2011. And I'll just read the introduction. In September of 2011, a user named Selco joined the forums at survivalistboards.com and posted, "My shit hit the fan experience wartime." A thread that would since become legendary in survivalist communities and beyond. In fact, you frequently see people referencing it to the day in communities like 4chan and Reddit. In it, Selco details his experience of living in a besieged Bosnia, a Bosnian town of 50 to 60,000 people during the Bosnian War, 1992 to 1995. The siege took away everything modern humans take for granted and tested with extreme brutality Selco's and his community's ability to survive. And so part of this is that he had survived with no electricity, no food, no running water, and no law during this time. And I bring all this up because when you go through this, and I'm going to post this on the chat and I'll put it up under the, this is the article link, and I'll put this also underneath the podcast tonight for people to find. When you read through this article, it's actually a composition of exchanges that he had on the forum. It becomes very clear how quickly the world can unravel around you. Now, just for your edifice, when you look at this, when you go to this article and you look at the picture, I've been on this street in Bosnia, so it's completely rebuilt now. But you can see the ravaged and war-torn effects of war and how quickly this place was gutted and turned into just a war zone. We live in a very fragile society, and when things start to fall apart and people don't have a foundation in faith and a relationship with God, the attempt is going to always be to steal, to hoard. I mean, I've talked to people openly say, I'm not going to prep. I'm just going to steal from other people. And I'm like, okay, well, come to my house, you're going to get shot, because that's not the way we play. But the bottom line is that a lot of people are not prepared for what is coming. And what is coming, I won't go so far as to say is a total collapse, but it is going to challenge people at a level they've never had to face. We're already seeing the food shortages. We're seeing the fuel shortages. We're seeing the impacts of the injection, this bioweapon. There's a lot of things wrapping up. And this is where we are ending up, is a place where the reality of life and the lack and the fragility of government is going to come very real. In a time of crisis, and we see this, we've seen this many times with hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, a lot of people sit and wait for FEMA or wait for somebody to come save them. And you know that never works. The responsibility sits with us to do that, and that's also part of God's way, that we should be, but we can't lose our way in being God's children and the path. And so tonight, I want to read, just to keep this all in front of us, Romans 12, 1 to 21. I'll begin with Romans 12. I'll begin at Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It is extremely difficult in stressful times to retain that center point with God. And when you get into stressful situations that put you in a life or death situation, there is very much a primal nature that kicks into us. And if we don't keep God before us, it is very easy to slip into sort of a man world, which doesn't necessarily work out good for anybody. In a time that we are going to be confronted with, where I believe that we are going to be faced with a lot of people with shortages and a lot of people dealing with a lot of crises, whether it's loss of money, loss of job, an inability to heat their home, shortage on food, fear of what's going on, the confusion itself can be overwhelming, the realization of the things like the injection, what it's done to them, more and more realization that the election was actually stolen, it wasn't theirs, the confronting of the reality from the people on the left that they've been living into a lie, that they've been used and manipulated, which is another whole dimension of their idea of their worship that's going to destroy itself. Our role has to still be, no matter where we are, a strong and powerful role in walking in the body of Christ and through that to the Father. And so part of that is to constantly renew our mind through Scripture. So continuing with 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in servicing, the one who teaches in his teachings, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. It's a powerful paragraph to remind ourselves in these gifts of grace that we have. And it is very important that we keep ourselves in that body of Christ and leverage the gifts that God gave us. These times of stress and these times when the world seems like it's overwhelming, we can get easily lost into the fear, into the self-consumption, into the hoarding. And we have to find that balance between the grace of taking care of our families and the power of walking within God. So, and someone just asked what these verses were again. This is Romans 12:1-21. Romans 12:1-21. There is a very, very important walk that we are all on right now. And I truly believe that what we are here to do is to help guide the many out of the darkness. I believe that's the function, at least a large part of the function of the remnant. And it's not to put ourselves up on a pedestal in any way. We have just held a line here since the beginning of this nonsense of the COVID crisis and even before, of holding that line with God and staying there and not wavering. And that strength that we've gained is sometimes greater than we realize. We have also with that come greater in touch, I believe, with many of our gifts and talents. And I think there's many more gifts and talents to be discovered, especially when we hit times of stress. But loving thy neighbor as we would want to be loved is a very critical component. However, in times of crisis, we have to sort through and discern between helping and then becoming somebody's crutch for their lack of initiative. This is a big deal. Because there are still limited resources. Now, I'm giving you my perspective, because we could walk the path as Christ did in feeding the masses with a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread. And I think ultimately we arrive there, to be honest with you. But as we approach that with the willingness to give, it is also the responsibility for those to step into that place and accept the walk that they're on. We are in a different situation than standing before the many that are just listening to a sermon. We're in a situation that's escalating to be where it's going to be literally life and death. And people are going to be in a frantic mode. And unfortunately, when they get there, we've already seen where that leads. That craziness leads them to things like, I need to get a shot because I'm so afraid. But this new reality that they're going to be facing is everything that they did, the shot, the promises of freedom when they got it, are all falling apart. And with that, the world that they had counted on being there, that worship of government, is all falling apart. You're going to encounter, in my opinion, many people that are in a very desperate place that have also have no clue where to turn with God. And that is, before we nurture with food, it's essential that we begin to nurture with the love that Christ can, and only Christ can provide. And that, to me, is one of the greatest gifts and talents I think God has given to all of us. And in doing so, we can then open this walk to, for them. I don't have answers for where some of this is going. It's the sort of thing that I've spent a lot of time on this recently to say, okay, well, you know, if I'm in a neighborhood and I end up with five of my neighbors that are well-prepared and I end up with 20 of my neighbors that haven't done a darn thing, where is that line of helping, and then where that helping becomes so much of a sacrifice that we sacrifice ourselves? I would tell you that there are those who would argue that place to say that's exactly our role. This is a difficult one, and I'm not able to provide, nor will I attempt to provide an answer, because this has not been clear even to me. I personally believe, and I will just give you my position, is that it is essential that as people seek help, they have to be willing to give themselves. So that means you have to give your life to Christ, and in the same time, you have to be willing to start working to build the solidity, the foundation that you need to be self-sufficient for your family. Otherwise, we end up creating a codependency and a welfare situation, which does not benefit anyone, and that's not scriptural. So this is kind of how I navigate through this. And part of that is, and this is my personal approach here, is that as if someone's asking for help, as I actually have done this recently, where they've asked for some help and some favors, and my first question is, I'm open to helping, but I want to hear the plan. I don't want to be hooked into something that's going to be a never-ending cycle of giving if we can't find a way for you to be stable. Helping somebody in a short term is fine if that's a one-off, but if we're going to be into a relationship or helping others, I think it's essential that we're working to build resiliency and stability in other people's lives, which starts with spiritual foundations and spiritual stability. My opinion on this, and again, I'm sure that there's people that disagree, but I'm very opinionated on this because I don't believe that God ever intended us to be standing on a street corner with our hands out expecting for a free gift. We've always had to participate in our own self-sufficiency. So let's continue with Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo anything in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be frequent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Everything I just mentioned, I don't find any contradiction with this, into what we're reading in Scripture here. A lot of it is our own demeanor and the way that we approach a problem and our willingness to listen. I think that listening is our number one problem. And if we would take time not only to listen to ourselves, but especially take time to listen to God, I think we probably wouldn't have 90% of our problems, to be honest with you. But too much has been lost in that place of listening. When we go through that process of listening, too often we want to speak before we've actually heard what is said. Or we have an agenda that we want to share before we actually hear what the problem is. If we take this current situation with the bioweapon, it's a perfect example. What people heard was the fear that was being put out with the media. What people failed to want to do was to listen to the discussions and then ask questions to learn and gain the knowledge of what was really going on. But the reaction to fear was the driving force. It became a fear-driven pandemic, or plandemic if you prefer. This is not over yet, because fear is still very ripe within people's souls. It's like a wound that's just sitting under the Band-Aid, and you rip it open and it's going to burst again. And this is literally where they are. They're already, as I see in my own small town, I live in a county where the county commission and the sheriff have said they will not enforce mask mandates. Okay? And yet, I go around town and the school of sheeple are unbelievable of how many people wear a mask. No one's asking them to. They wear it in their car. They wear it on the streets. They wear it in shops. Those same groups of people are now going to be in a place where they have to confront food shortages, empty shelves, increasing gas costs, increasing food costs, perhaps the inability to even pay their power bill, maybe fuel shortages. These things are all on the horizon. And what is it that they're going to find strength in to worship? Is it going to be their mask? Is that going to save them? And you can imagine the media doing its thing, because the media is going to enjoy this and fan that flame of it's the unvaxxed, it's the breakout, it's another Delta variant, it's a new SARS-CoV chicken little virus. I don't know. But they're going to be in there pushing this. And we're going to be on that place where we have taken time to ground ourselves and build our foundations for ourselves for this time. And the challenges that we're going to have is how we approach and how we help others as we ensure that our homes remain solid in what we need to continue forward. The one thing to keep in mind in this situation, and this is different than straight giving, when you're dealing with somebody like a homeless person and you're going to help them for that moment, like you say you're going to provide them a sandwich or get them a cup of coffee, that's an intended one-off moment. But if you're living in the community with people that have not prepared, that don't have extra food, have all their money locked up in an ATM access and they can't get to their bank, many things can happen. We know this. Or food prices have skyrocketed so much they just don't have the money to buy what they had before. And then we just have the real issues of scarcity. These are different levels of emotional and spiritual challenges than just that one-off of giving. So we're going to have to remain extremely solid in our faith, and we have to lead with God in all things. And yet we need the most important part of this, I believe, is how we listen and how we engage, which is to be genuine. And as we are genuine in our approach, not coming in proselytizing or take the great one I would see is like, I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to give you anything until you read the whole Bible. That probably wouldn't go over too well with somebody who's starving and is in panic mode. Okay. But we need to be true to God and true to the message that we bring. And we need to be those guides that help guide them out of the darkness. Let's continue with Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a really fantastic paragraph in this whole discussion, because part of this is the sincerity of sharing the stress and the moment with the people that we're involved in. It is literally being there to give them the support that they need to know that they're not alone and to walk with that. And when you're dealing with somebody who persecutes you, to be above that persecution. It's easy to get wrapped up in the vengeance and anger, and that's exactly where the devil takes hold. Our place has to always be that sort of approach towards harmony and trying to heal. This last part that I always love this because there's so much wisdom in this last phrase. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. But for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. This is a really profound statement. We are going to run into the people in our neighborhood who you haven't liked in the past, who are they're just generally jerks to deal with. And they're going to be in a place of need at moments. You know this. These are opportunities to help them out. And really the grace of this is as we help and we work with people to understand the bigger picture, we literally are taking away their judgment of God. We're taking away their judgment of Christ. They're taking, if they have it, they're taking away their judgment of us if they have it. Because they're faced with the fact that that person who they may not have wanted to talk to, you or I, who maybe they see you or I as a Jesus freak or whatever that is, they're finding something else there. They're finding this deeper appreciation for who they are and a willingness to help. And our help, when we talk about the approach of a plan, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, really what we're getting at is let me help you walk a path where you can grow to taking care of your family. We need to get people to take accountability for their lives, for the decisions that they've made. There's many people that I see that spend enormous amount of money on credit cards for the glory, and right now I'm talking on the things that are not helping them prepare. I can see it. It's easy to see around me. And you hope that, I'll be very honest, I hope and pray that these things are nowhere near as severe as I think they might be. What I know is either way we win, but my gut tells me things are going to get pretty rough. I made a comment the other day. What's the worst case scenario of prepping for food supplies for 6 months to a year to find out that we didn't need any of it? Well, it means the mission is going to get a great donation somewhere down the way, right? So we need to take the time to get our houses, our homes in order, our spiritual temple, our body temple in order, taking care of it, it's making sure you're on good sleep patterns, making sure you're on good eating patterns, you have supplements in the house, you have a good exercise program going. There's going to be a lot called upon us whether we seek it or not, because in the end, God has put us here for a reason. And we are watching a world, a matrix of a sort that so many people worship and believe in, starting to unravel. And it's unraveling faster than even I expected. And day by day, who was ever manipulating it, the funny part is, and this is where I keep saying it's God's hand, no one can figure out why the product is not moving out of ships fast. We've had theories, everything from it's a trade imbalance to the truck drivers aren't there. Well, we proved that's not true. Even today, they've proven that's not true. They say that there's not enough dock workers, yet the unions say they aren't taking any more job applications. People say that there's just too much material in there, and there's no trucks on the road, and yet there's more trucks on the road than we've seen in a long time. Somewhere along the way, there's a bottleneck in all of this, and we are hearing of the scarcities that are coming. The question is, where are they? We haven't quite seen the scarcities yet. We've seen them in select markets. But here's what I personally think. I think this is really one of these God's hands moment because no one can figure out exactly what's going on. But what's happening is it's forcing the remnant to be well prepared. And I expect that there will be some significant shortages. We already see them, like I say, in fuel. We know that we're starting to see moments of it in food and in other items. And yet no one can pinpoint exactly the cause. Well, if God wants to shake up the world, take away the things people have become dependent upon and watch the world get shaken up. So as long as we keep that path and our faith in God, We keep true to that, and we don't doubt God. Because this is one thing I will tell you, and if you've been through a stressful moment in any form in your life, you know that the inclination many times is we start pulling away from God and wrapping into fear or anxiety. That is exactly what we can't do, because we're going to be in different levels. There will be much of that around us. And so it comes back to that place of being strong in our walk with God in Christ. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. One of the greatest things we are in the process of doing right now is literally leading an exodus out of this previous world. We're heading into a new place. New values, new ways of treating one another, respecting one another. We're not going to a place of egalitarianism or redistribution of wealth where everybody's going to be the same. That's this garbage from the left. It's garbage of deep state. We're going to a place of more merit where we are, but part of our merit is always giving to love thy neighbor as we would love ourselves, working together with respect and trying to resolve those things that we need to do to make a better world. Eventually, all of us using our gifts and talents that God gave us, and in the process of giving our lives more truly to him in our heart, then we have nothing to fear because God will provide everything we need. This is the glory of the world that we're moving into. It's beautiful. But we're still over here on this little edge of the old world, and we're going to have to deal with this collapse an impending doom of the matrix and the awakening of many into an absolute fear. The people that have been living in darkness, darkness has seemed normal to them. And yet for us, the darkness is a place that we've left. We're in the light. So in another way we could look at it is that we're actually already in this new world, which I kind of believe we are. We just haven't quite realized it yet. And in this new world, we're already starting to develop what is going to happen. We're starting to innovate new ideas, but we've understood something very critical, that part of us, God's children, part of God himself, still sits in that darkness, and we can't just walk away. We have to help them come about. We have to help them come across as much as possible, as many as possible. And in so doing, it's going to require that we don't become part of the problem with our own fears and anxiety, but know that we're solid where we are and being able to provide the guidance and the direction for them to walk on their own to the place that we're at. And in the process of walking on their own, they gain the strength. We can help them with the nourishment, both spiritual and physical, as they need to get them back up a bit, and then they will take responsibility ultimately for their lives. It's a rather noble place to be that God has placed us. Not nobility with arrogance, but nobility with humility. And I think that's one of the greatest things we have to offer here in the coming months ahead, as long as we stay centered. For we know why we're here, and we know where our love sits first and foremost. Our love through the body of Christ and to Father can never be anything but strong, powerful, and unrelenting. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time when there has been so much upheaval and there's so much confusion and questions about what's happening, we pray that in these moments, as we take these weeks and we prepare our lives and we prepare what we need, that we are able to stay focused on what you need for us to do, the enhancement of our gifts and talents, the improvement of our homes as a sort of solid rock on that rock of faith, our improvement and strengthening of our body temple, to work in that capacity each day, every breath, to keep moving something forward along those lines, to have no fear, no anxiety, to trust in you fully, and to know that through the body of Christ and through you, to you, Father, that we're able to stand in this time fearlessly, to continue to be the beacons of light that so many will need. And as this world shifts and overturns and shakes up, that we'll be able to step into those places to lead our communities in a way that will honor you and honor all that was sacrificed for us. Guide us, protect us, gift us with this wisdom, Lord, for we seek that greatness that only you can guide us to. Our hearts are open, our souls are willing and eager. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, this is an exciting time. Such opportunity for us to really make a huge change and to lead that change. Not to be intimidated by corporations, not to be intimidated by governments, but instead just to know that our love and our allegiance to God through Christ to the Father is so strong that the throne is being reset upon this nation, whether those in power like it or not, for we are making that happen. That is what we are asking for. That's what we are living for. And as this new Babylon falls completely to the ground, we know that from the ashes, we will be standing there strong with God above us and ourselves humbled before him, leading this world through his love and his grace. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into this fight. This is an amazing time, truly is. It's a time to be energized. It's a time to be excited every day. Remember what I've said, that don't be intimidated about money and things like that with getting yourself prepared. This always begins with the spiritual, and it should always center as well on the physical of getting your body temple healthy. And each step that you do in all these other capacities will raise up your strength overall. But we are the warriors now that are going to lead this. And our role is critical. And it has to be led with the word of God first and all of that in our discernment that follows through that. God is with us. He will never forsake us. And as we continue to march forward, we have to make sure that we never doubt that. God is going to win this, but he's working it through us, such a glorious gift that we're given. And just know that. He trusts us, and that's an amazing statement to say. So have a blessed night, Patriots. I'll see you tomorrow night for Bards FM and Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time. Thank you. Good night. God bless. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights spent pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, but not a void up, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit. sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.